magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, September 25th, 2015. And before I introduce our special guest and Jason via the phone lines, let me read a passage out of Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35. And Darla said, this is a great context for us to work from for today's program. And it's titled, The Workers Are Few. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his field." Oh, listening friend, we're in for a special message today, I believe, as Darla Wilson joins us in the studio. And tonight, there's a special event that she'll be at, along with Robert Sievers and Pastor Jason Schiffo. It's called Conversation Matters, with the topic Islam, Christianity, and the End Times. And we thought we'd bring Darla into the studio, because she has a real heart for reaching Muslims with the good news message of Jesus, and a real passion for this topic, and how we all can learn to be those workers that the Lord is calling to raise up a harvest. And so, Darla, thank you for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends.
Thank you, Mark, for having me.
And Jason, I know you're in the midst of a perfect storm and couldn't quite get out here today, but we're glad you're available, and thank you, God, for the technology that we can call you up, because this is at the core of some of your passion, too, reaching people with the good news message of Jesus.
Yeah, I think that there's nothing more pressing today than the gospel. The gospel is the most important thing, no matter what social ill or what political agenda or whatever it is we see that pops up. The answer is always the gospel. The answer to abortion, the answer to immorality, the answer to injustice, it's always the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so we need to, as Christians, be about the gospel. And when we look at how society or culture tends to attack Christianity, they always go for Jesus, because Jesus sits at the heart of the gospel. And so when I had a chance a number of weeks ago to get together with Darla and to hear her heart and to hear how she feels about, number one, the gospel, and number two, reaching people, particularly the Muslim community, with the gospel, I just knew that we had to get some time with her and get a chance to talk to her. So, Darla, it's so good to have you with us this morning.
Well, thanks, Jason, for having me. But I'm hoping to share that passion that, God uses ordinary people like me to reach out to Muslims.
Hey, maybe give our listeners a little background, because like you said, you're ordinary, but you are extraordinary in God's economy. So, Darla, you call yourself typical or average or just an ordinary person doing God's work, but how did it all start? What's the background that got you to this point where now you're on staff with the Crescent Project?
Well, I get asked that a lot, because it seemed like it came out of the blue for a lot of people. Because I was a stay-at-home mom for many years, but saw the empty nest years coming up and was praying about it. And more God was confirming that this is the route he wanted to go for me to be an area coordinator with Crescent Project. And once I looked back at my life, I just saw different places where he's bringing me to this spot. Even all the way back to Urbana, 87, attended with my then fiancé, and both of us feeling called to missions, thinking we'd be packing our bags and going overseas, but we're never quite having that green light. But he put me through seminary. Well, God did, too. Hmm. He had something to do with it.
And you're talking about your husband, Craig?
Yeah. Clint. No, Craig's my brother. Don't get okay, mixed.
Clint, right?
Clint. Because my brother Craig lives local, too.
Yeah. Now you're talking about your husband, Clint, and you're now married how many years?
27. He's put up with me that long. Can you believe it?
And maybe explain, what's the Crescent Project? What is that?
Well, and one of the other ways that I saw God's hand in all this, though, is that when we lived in Indianapolis, God blessed us with a house with some extra bedrooms, and we started hosting exchange students. High school students came and lived with us, and three out of the four were from a Muslim background, and then I was an area coordinator here for a couple of years. And what I find is most Muslims know so little about Christianity, and what they think they know isn't true. So oftentimes, being able just to have some basic understanding of what it is we believe and being able just to share it with them. And that's what Crescent Project is all about, is equipping the church to be the missionaries, is equipping each of us to understand our own faith and being able to build friendships with Muslims, whether it's a coworker or a neighbor or just a friend at the park or something, being able to build those friendships and be able to share our faith, because that's not a Middle Eastern thing. That's an American thing. What are the two of the things we're never supposed to talk about, right? Politics and religion. But that's not their culture. They're open to talking about their faith and our faith, and they're curious. So being able to articulate that and keep those friendships and be able to share with them who Jesus really was and is.
Now, tonight, Jason, tell us a little about this Conversation Matters class. It's open to anyone. It's free. They don't even have to call and register, but it's always nice to know so you can have materials. And I think, Darla, you're going to be setting out some resources and making books available. But tell us what time tonight, Jason, and maybe your church address and how people can come out and really be blessed by the experience.
Tonight we're going to be hosting Islam in the End Times. It's going to be at the Community Evangelical Free Church on Route 47 on the south end of Muhammad. And that's going to start at 6 p.m. and go to roughly about 7:45 p.m. And as you've already mentioned, Bob is going to be there, and he's going to be the primary presenter. But Darla is also going to be assisting. She's going to have a book table, too, with a bunch of resources from the Crescent Project. And you're also going to be, Darla, offering sign-ups and some information for the Bridges class, which we're going to be offering at Community Evangelical Free Church in October. Can you tell me a little bit, tell us and listeners a little about what to expect from that class, and what is it?
Well, it's a DVD study. I use that mostly. I add to it and stuff. So even if a church says, hey, this sounds like really great material, but Muhammad's too far away or whatever it might be, that go to our website, crescentproject.org, and they can order their own copy. You might want to let me know. I'd like to be a resource person for people. It might be nice to have on your shelf for your library, your church library, for small groups or Sunday school classes. So what is Bridges? It's very practical training. By the way, there has been some confusion in the past because Campus Crusade has an excellent Bridges program. It's outreach to internationals. And this is Bridges training. And so sometimes there's some confusion with that. But Fuad Masri started Crescent Project in the early 90s and just saw that there's this gulf between Christians and Muslims here in the United States. So he was here studying for seminary. He's originally from Beirut, Lebanon. And so he came up with these materials. It's just very practical. It teaches about Islam because many of us don't know a whole lot about what they believe and how they practice it. But then it also shares with what do we have that's similar and how can we build on that? In other words, you know, how can we build on? There's a lot of similarities between their view of God and ours. But how can we share our faith by pointing out how they're different? So it's just very practical on how to make friendships and share your own faith.
Now, would this be for pastors, deacons, elders, or just the general congregation, really for everyone?
All of the above, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And how do they find out more, or how do they register?
Come tonight. Another way you can find out more, because I also have a class that just started last Sunday at Paxton United Methodist Church on Sunday afternoons at 2:30. So if you want to jump in with that. So best way might be if you want to email me, dwilson@crescentproject.org, because I'm hoping other churches will have classes in the future, and I could let you know about those as well.
dwilson@crescentproject.org.
Correct.
Okay.
And D as in, well, Darla. Or
duh, as in duh, as in Darla. Okay.
I was going to say dog.
And also, anybody who's interested can call the Community Evangelical Free Church of Muhammad, and that's 217-586-5165, 217-586-5165. You know, Darla, when Bob was at the church last time and spoke on Islam and Christianity, he made a statement that stuck with me, and I think it's an important one. And because you have been dedicating a lot of your life to ministry with Muslims and witnessing to them and loving them, maybe you can flesh out this statement a little bit more, what it looks like practically. But Bob said, we can't forget that a Muslim is a soul for whom Christ died for, and let us be faithful in proclaiming the message of Jesus to everyone. And how does that look practically lived out amongst Muslims?
Well, how does Jesus love them? Well, a phenomenon that you don't hear too much about is that the church in the Middle East is growing I mean, it's a great awakening in the Middle East. And you say, well, how can that be with all of the death and violence that we're seeing on the TV? And again, I don't understand why God hasn't worked this way, but the more the persecution, the greater the church that's growing. The fastest growing church in the world right now is in Iran, which you just go, but it's not even legal there. They're arresting people left and right. And so be praying for them. These are our brothers and sisters who are putting themselves in harm's way just by accepting faith in Jesus Christ. They know that their life is probably going to be ended oftentimes. And did that answer your question, Jason?
I think what I wanted you to talk about was, you know, that kind of there's this huge amount of Muslim students here for the first time ever, and this is, you know, this is maybe the opportunity. I mean, in Iran, they get arrested and they get killed. Here, there's less people to see, so they could actually have conversations with us.
You know, I'm thinking of the passage we began this program with, Jason and Darla, that Jesus saw them and had compassion on them, and that's something that we can model. Just having compassion, a listening ear, befriending them, helping them with directions or taking them to the store. Some real practical ways of just building a friendship, asking them about their family, just getting to be a part of their lives, having that compassion, that care. And then as only the Lord can do, he's the one that will raise up the harvest. Jason, you've prayed this many times that with 40 Days for Life, that God makes those divine appointments, that he's at work planning and tilling the soil, working in their hearts, having them receptive to the gospel message. And then we're just maybe one in many steps to have them come to the point of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think that's so important that, you know, that we realize that we are not always the guy. We are one of the guys that God is using to bring this message. And so, you know, just as Darla comes into the classroom or comes into different settings and equips a multitude of people to go out, really, that passage is such a great one that she chose, because right after that, in Matthew 10 and verse 1, Jesus calls to him those that he wanted, and he sends them out to begin to do the mission. And so I see that as one of the primary things that Darla does, is she equips the saints to be able to go out and to be able to serve in a way that, you know, many of us can't go to the Middle East and learn what it means to be Middle Eastern and how to relate to a Middle Eastern culture. But praise God that he's raised up missionaries like Darla and the Crescent Project to be able to equip us to do these things.
Now, Darla, if your prayers were going to be answered for tonight's conversation class that Bob Sievers will be facilitating and teaching, and you'll be visiting with some of the Great News Radio listeners, providing some literature and books and recommendations, how would God answer your prayers for tonight?
Well, what I'd love to see is, and I think it happened with the first thing. By the way, Bob is just amazing. Mm-hmm. He's so learned in areas that I haven't had time to invest in, about the Hadith and the Quran. He's just amazing. But what I'd love to see is that, you know, groups of people from different churches will come tonight and then sign up for the Bridges. I mean, what I'd love to see is that at Jason's church, well, it's not his church, it's God's church, but that we may have groups from different other churches that will come, learn about how to reach out to Muslims, and then bring it back to their church and say, okay, how can we apply this, not only in our own life, but in our church or maybe in our community? Because we're all seeing all these refugees and things. I mean, most of what I've concentrated on are these students that are here in our midst. I mean, we have thousands of Muslims from Iran, and many are here with the English Language Institute studying from Saudi Arabia, where, again, they will not have a chance to hear about Jesus when they return. And I'm also have to say something about the Crables. Dave and Ruth Crable have been working tirelessly for decades now in trying to connect international students. But who knows, too, what God might have planned for all the refugees and where they may end up. It might be in Paxton or Rantoul or even Muhammad. And maybe he is preparing our church now, church with a capital C, that is, to welcome them and show them the love of Christ once they get here.
I know, Jason, you've stated before how unique the University of Illinois is with these many thousands of internationals all over the world coming to our area, giving us all the opportunity, or if you will, the privilege of investing or pouring into them and, you know, many times being able to share the good news message of Jesus just in a very non-threatening way. But we can build those relationships. We don't have to go to all these countries. God is bringing all these internationals right here.
Yeah, and I've said to people many times, Mark and Darla, that I don't believe that, you know, some people will say, well, I'm not gifted to share the gospel. And I would say that I don't see anywhere where Jesus lists sharing the gospel as a gift. Now, he does say there are people who are evangelists, but sharing the gospel, the proclamation of who Jesus Christ is what we as Christians do every single day with our lives, with our money, with our acumen, with our relationships, and in all different ways and places. And so we have this great, unique opportunity where the mission field has come to us. We don't have to get on a plane and pack our bags. And, you know, what I love about Darla's story is it accentuates the fact that she thought she was going to be packing her bags to become a missionary, and God said, no, actually, I'm going to raise you up to be a missionary where you're at, which is something I think we as Christians need to realize, is that I'm a missionary to my neighborhood. I'm a missionary to my neighbors. And when Jesus said, love your neighbors, I think that maybe he really said, let's start with the immediate circle, and then we'll work our way out. And certainly some are called to go overseas, but what I love about Darla's story is I think God was raising her up to be a missionary, but here.
Mm-hmm. And Jason, the other part of that is when we obey God, you know, whether it's just to reach out to a neighbor or coworker, there's joy in that too.
Yes.
You know, inviting them over, or they invite you over, and learning about their culture. I often say I have enjoyed having daughters vicariously through exchange students, mm-hmm. and, you know, kind of a taste of it without having to give birth. So it was really nice. And, you know, and so now I have daughters on the other side of the world in Kyrgyzstan and in Turkmenistan. And these are people who are near and dear to my heart, and some sons, too, over there. So I won't go into all that. But there's just that joy in sharing your life with someone else. And it doesn't mean you have to have them move in with you like we did with exchange students, but it could just be having a couple over to have a cookout or go to a football game. We really had fun a year ago. We invited some Malaysian students. So there it was, Clint and I and 22 Malaysians, and we're explaining American football, and we went to the game, and we just had a blast. I mean, I'm sorry, this can be a fun thing, too.
I'll tell you something that was unique about my experience this past Saturday, and anyone that maybe stopped by my Facebook page saw a photo of me and, like, well, they didn't see me, 70 or so international students that were invited over, and most of them were either visiting scholars or family members and children of maybe a student at the University of Illinois, but we had a campfire. And the preponderance of them were from China. I think there was 40 or 50 from China and a few from Japan, some from South Korea, a few others.
You mentioned Turkey, did you?
Yeah, Turkey, a few other countries. But as I was showing them, I was putting sticks on the fire. And most of them come from countries where you don't have acres or much land. And I was using my knee to break some of the sticks. And I saw them like they were marveling. They had never had sticks in their hands. And all the children, I mean, probably five kids, I was lining up sticks so they could use their knees to break the sticks. And then some of the spouses, it was funny, some of the women were like, what are you doing? I said, no, this is how you break a stick. So it was just a very simple thing, but I took it for granted. And I saw two women, like, then kept going into the woods and were so delighted to break a stick on their knee. They'd just never seen that before. But we had just a glorious time, and we began the afternoon with a picnic. And so I prayed a prayer, you know, asking God to be present, thanking him for the weather, for these relationships, for these friendships. And I think it was really interesting how some of them responded, and a few showed up in church the next day. So,
but Mark, your story kind of reminds me how it is sometimes just something as simple as that. You know, you've been to Israel and other places, and what is it? When you're traveling, you're curious. You're curious to know how they live their lives, what they believe, how they practice their faith, or all those things. Well, it's no different than these students or these refugees or internationals that are here. So sometimes they have basic questions. Don't you worship three gods? You know, well, no, we don't. So hopefully the Bridges study will give people those tools so that when they get sometimes these very basic questions, you know, they'll have answers, or even the tougher ones, too. But.
So, Jason, in our closing minute, what's happening tonight at the Community Evangelical Free Church?
Well, tonight, again, we're going to be doing Islam and Christianity, and we're going to be particularly talking about the end times. And Bob Sievers is going to be presenting on that, and I had lunch with him a couple weeks ago, and it was fascinating as he ran through some of the materials. And that's going to be from 6 to 7:45 And also present there will be Darla Wilson from the Crescent Project, as we've been talking to, and she's going to have a table with some resources on it. And we're just going to be trying to engage this issue, and also Darla will be giving some information on the Bridges class that'll be happening in October at Community Evangelical Free Church. So our real hope is that since we have this mission field here, that we as a church can equip believers to understand that the mission starts at home, and that, praise God, He's brought us people here. I mean, He did not call us across the sea. They're here to the tune of 10,000 to 13,000 international students from all different countries at the university. So we can make disciples here, share the love of Christ, show them God's grace and glory, and they'll go back home, and they'll multiply that out into their spheres of life and the places that they do life. You know what I would love is, as we close, Darla, would you pray for us, and just particularly pray for this mission that God has given us for His glory?
I'd love to. I would add one other thing, though. I also see my role as connecting people, not just saying teaching and you should be doing this, this, and this, but also then connecting people with ministries or outreach ways to use what they've learned. So just wanted to get that added plug. So, yes, I'd love to pray. Lord Jesus, we are so excited about the church tonight and getting to hear about end times with Bob, and just pray for him. And I pray, Lord, that your church will come together and not miss it, not be too busy with our own lives or our own details that we miss this wonderful thing that you've laid in our laps of so many internationals that are here on our doorstep. Help us, Lord, to have the right words, the kindness, and the compassion that you had as you walked on this earth to reach out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And I thank you again for the churches throughout this area and how you are growing more and more and to share our lives with those who don't know you. Help us, Lord, to have opportunities and just to bring them about in our lives and in the lives of those who are hungry to know you better. Amen.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his field." Seems pretty clear to me, Jason, what the Lord is calling us to do, and it can begin tonight with that Conversations Matters class at the Community Evangelical Free Church at 6 p.m. Hope to see you out there, to everyone. And if you need more information, you can call the station, 217-367-7777, or the Community Evangelical Free Church at 217-586-5165. It's a free event, and we'll learn about Islam, Christianity, and the end time. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo and Darla Wilson with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.